as I understand it, you were a sponsor on a possible change to that bill. Can you tell me about your involvement in that proposed change, what you knew about the case that Tim was trying to address with that lobbying?
Yeah, it was a messy and unideal situation. So I was on Judiciary Committee, and I'd been getting contact from, well, people throughout the law enforcement and criminal justice community, but in particular some attorneys who had done criminal law who were flagging this issue in general. And after they had been in touch, Tim also got in touch, as he did with many, although I don't think all members of the Judiciary Committee, as well as some members not on Judiciary. And he was lobbying and, you know, relating his personal relationship, I guess, with some of these criminal statutes. I don't know what the letter of legislative law is in terms of what ledge employees can and cannot do, but certainly the appearance is far from ideal, and I think the committee was ultimately responsive to that. And what we ended up doing is passing there's the Criminal Justice Commission, which is sort of this blue ribbon task force of retired judges, law enforcement officers, victims advocates, etc. And so we sort of sent the whole issue beyond just what Tim was particularly interested in, but the issue at large to the Criminal Justice Commission for them to review, which felt like a more clean and objective sort of path forward.
Do you think he crossed the line of ethics?
I think the committee's response to his advocacy was ultimately appropriate. I think it's absolutely for the better, ethically and otherwise, that the Criminal Justice Commission is now going to consider this issue and make recommendations. And in a year or two, they'll come back to the legislature and say, we've considered the case law, or not the case law, we've considered the legislative history, we've done comparative research with other states, we've looked at the data, here's recommendations A, B, and C. And then it will be time for the legislature again to address the question, at which point I think everyone is going to ensure, and I think for the better, that all advocacy occurs on the legislative record. So I think fortunately the Criminal Justice Commission sort of offers us I guess the short answer to your question is I think our decision to kick it to the Criminal Justice Commission and allow them to objectively review it, I think reflects committee sentiment about how things were going within the Capitol.
Your opponent in this race is knocking on doors and trying to make the argument for having someone in State House who has more life experience and who is older, as well as being a member of the Republican-led majority that was in place. In terms of the life experience and age issue, do you have a response when you're out on the campaign trail? Do you make a case for why someone younger should be in this seat?
Guilty as charged. I'm 27 years old. That criticism, I think, is entirely factual and objective. I bring the work ethic of a mule. I mean, I work morning till night on behalf of the people I represent, and I care incredibly about them, the people in our district that I represent, and the future of the state. I'd argue that there's just as much as someone of any age is able to represent a district in the Alaska legislature, there are advantages for people of all backgrounds. And I mean, certainly I have a strong motive to make sure that the state is solvent and prosperous for people well younger than myself, even, that I want to see Alaska around and vibrant for generations beyond my own. And you could argue that's an advantage for my age. But I think, to be fair, anyone can and should be feeling that way, regardless of how old they are. I mean, I think the argument that we need more older people, I mean, the average age in the legislature is 65. If we needed, you know, if simply age correlated to legislative performance, ideally we wouldn't have a $3.3 billion budget deficit right now. You know, I I think it's a shallow criticism. Ideally, you're judged by the quality of your performance in the legislature. And I have worked darn hard, and I do my honest best, and I'm proud of what I've done the last 4 years.
Well, Sheila also brings up the spending that the House minority argued for, including public broadcasting, Alaska Marine Highway, K-12 education, and really held out for in this last session, and makes the case that that money isn't around, and the state can't afford to keep spending at that level and spending out of the constitutional budget reserve. Do you disagree? Is there a way that Alaska can still pay for these services, whether you think they're core or important or not? Is that justifiable?
Yeah, that's a great question, and I disagree with that for two reasons. I mean, first, as a consistency observation, one issue and purported criticism in this campaign has been that in my current status in the legislature, I can't be effective. Yet this is a criticism that I've been too effective in securing funds for this district, and you can't have it both ways. It is factual that these monies have been secured through my colleagues' efforts, and they're important to this district. To the substance of the criticism, it's really important to put it in context. The budget is getting cut, and dramatically so. And I think it all comes down to equitability. And I don't want to see the budget balanced on the back of rural and coastal Alaska. And these are programs disproportionately important to our region, which, by the way, does not have a whole heck of a lot of representation. And I am more than pleased to use the leverage that I have, which, by the way, is not insignificant, to advocate the interests of our district in the legislature. And that includes funding for the ferry system, for public radio, for domestic violence and sexual assault prevention, ADF&G, and on and on. And putting those numbers in context, everything is getting cut. Everything I just mentioned is still getting cut year over year. It's just a question of whether it's getting completely clobbered or it's just going to be more moderately cut. And I guess I would relate it to the difference between a crash landing and where it's sort of violent economically speaking, and a more controlled landing. In both scenarios, you're going down, you're cutting the budget, but having, I would say, draconian and economically, economically destructive year-over-year cuts doesn't do anyone any good, and certainly not if those cuts disproportionately affect the district that I represent. I won't stand for that. So absolutely, I'm effective in advocating those funds, and I think it's the right thing to do, advocating the interests of this district. And in the context of the budget, I think it's also fiscally responsible because we still are cutting all these programs, even programs important to this district. It's just I want to make sure that it's equitable geographically and that our district does not disproportionately suffer, which I have seen too.
You think the permanent fund is going to need to play a role in funding state government going forward?
Yes. It's a math problem. And if you abide by the rules that math sets forward, to balance the budget, you have to have the same amount of revenues as you do expenditures. And ultimately, the solution is a combination of more cuts to services, and that's going to be inevitable, and it's going to be painful, but it's going to be necessary. And, we should all brace ourselves for that right now. It's just going to get more tough in the coming years. And it's going to be a mix of more revenues, and that includes a permanent fund restructure. I should note, though, there's, I think, varying levels there's different ways to do it, and there are ways that are less painful and there are ways that are more painful, and I would like to see ways that are less painful and more equitable. And there are proposals on the table, and I may have mentioned before, and if not, I'll mention now, Representative Paul Seaton's proposal. He's a Republican from Homer, sort of a Jay Hammond Republican, if you will, and who I identify strongly with Jay Hammond as well. And Paul's proposal, I think, is among the most equitable and intelligent on the table right now. So I'll be strongly supporting his proposal this coming legislative session and would like to see something that holds Alaskans as harmless as possible. And I mean, the Governor Walker's adage that, potentially there won't be a dividend in 2 or 3 years if we continue to stay on our same track is mathematically accurate. It's just you can't will money into existence. It doesn't work in the real world. And I am committed to looking at the math and balancing the budget, and I want to do it in a way that is in the most caring and compassionate way possible to the people I represent and to all of Alaskans. But I am committed to working within what math dictates for us.
Couple local issue questions. 4 years ago, Senator Bert Stedman secured a $40 million appropriation for building a road across Kuprinoff Island between Cake and the shore over here in Kuprinoff, city of Kuprinoff. Do you support or oppose that project? Does it make sense to be spending that money on building a gravel road across Kuprinoff Island?
Yeah, it's a good question. With capital projects, I generally take direction and instruction from the communities in those districts or affected by the projects, or the communities for whom the projects are directed. I think that would hold true to this particular project. It's also an appropriation that predates my tenure. It occurred in the legislative year prior to my election in 2012. So there's a certain, I think, etiquette there as well. But I guess, you know, to me, my own personal perspective, I think, would be informed by what the communities of Cake and Petersburg want.
Alaska Mental Health Trust logging. There is opposition to the potential logging above the hillside on Mitkoff Highway here in Petersburg, as well as Deer Mountain and Ketchikan. I know Alaska Mental Health Trust is a separate corporation of the state and not something that the state legislature has purview over. However, it is a situation that has been created in the state of Alaska to fund mental health services. And do you have what is your opinion on whether that logging should go forward or not for the hillside above town here and the hillside above Ketchikan?
I'm concerned. In fact, what is today? Monday. I think last Friday we sent a letter to the Mental Health Trust as well as the governor's office, which I can forward your way. I'm expressing concern as well as a few other comments regarding the proposed sale, namely the timeline. I've reviewed the geotechnical studies, and the concerns about slope stability resonate with me. I think private property owners, especially people with homes that they live in, have the right to feel safe. It seems like an unfortunate situation in many ways, and I guess I'm especially sensitive having seen the effects of landslides in Sitka, in which all three people who perished last year are people that I knew. So I don't take it lightly, and I'm not crazy about how this has unfolded, both the process and the proposal. I mean, you're right that there's, to a certain extent, limited ability to what I or any legislator can do given these sort of separation of powers. But I've certainly said my piece and will continue to look to, again, advocate on behalf of the people I represent on Mitkoff Highway as best I can. And I think on the merits of the issue, I also harbor concern.